Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Seriously, we get in crowds like this, and this is the normal response of a crowd. I don't want to be any louder than the guy next to me. Why don't you give the guy next to you permission then to be just one time shouting unto Zion? The Bible says, shout to the Lord, you voice of triumph. Shout to the Lord. It doesn't say get it worked up. It was worked up at the cross 2,000 years ago. It got worked up 2,000 years ago, and it still is. You know, it's the one thing you can't shut down. Every time man has tried to suppress the message of Jesus Christ, it just grows, and it grows. The Chinese government, God bless them, they keep trying to suppress it. North Korea keeps trying to suppress it. Russia tries to suppress it. Some of the most active, vibrant churches in the world are in communist nations. Some of the most active, powerful combination of churches together are in Muslim nations, where they threaten their lives for worshiping Jesus Christ. And they're in these small homes, and they're using one page of scripture that they, you know, the churches, different churches got to pass out different scripture. They only have a few Bibles. That's why we need to keep sending more Bibles over there. Got one, okay. I said, they need more Bibles. That's why we need to keep sending more Bibles over there. And when it's time to worship God, there are people dying for their faith today, because they shouted to the Lord in a nation that's not free. And we live in a nation that is free. And it's not because of a president. And it's not because of a party. And it's not because of a man thinking. It is this way because God foreordained it, that America would be the bastion light to the world of the gospel. And somebody stopped shouting. Somebody stopped singing. They stopped singing, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. Somebody stop shouting. Somebody stop lighting the candle. We need to be shouting to the Lord. And I'm not talking about getting weird. Don't be weird. Some of the weirdest people I've ever met attend church. I'm not talking about being weird. I'm talking about actually passionately loving Jesus. I witnessed a wedding on this stage. I didn't actually do the wedding. I witnessed it. I was back where you guys are, about Mike, where you and Mike and Mike are back there. We have our own Mike and Mike, by the way. Forget ESPN radio or whatever that is. I'm sitting right back there, and this bride and this groom. Groom's over here. Keep playing. No wedding songs. Groom's over here. Bride's over here. Now, I've done a few weddings in my life. But now, one thing I know is sooner or later, I got to get them together. And I know my voice carries a little bit. And I said to Gina, and embarrassingly so, I said, they're not even in the same zip code. Standing on the platform, and I'm like, Is he going to move it? I mean, that dude, you know what that dude needs to do? That dude needs to come over. He needs to claim what is rightfully his. And bring her to him. And he is going to do that one day. That groom is going to step out and he's coming for what is rightfully his. And I'm not talking about the vocal shouters, but the ones who shout within their spirit, that voice of triumph, that's who he's coming back for. A bride that is without spot or wrinkle. And when the groom shows up, I don't know about you, but when he shows up on that white horse, woo! I'm going to be shouting. And if you want to be next to me going, I'm fine with that. I'm really cool with that. But let me tell you, who am I calling? Oh, Gina. I'm sorry, hon. It was Gina. Okay. Well, you know, there's a passion in the bride and the groom. Listen, I know we got a kid's. It's going to be great. Get your pictures, get your cameras ready. It's the most memorable moments. These are actually graduation picture kind of moments. And you get what I'm saying? These are graduation pictures where you're going to show at their graduation and torment them. And these are the kind of pictures you show at their wedding and torment them. You get the picture, right? Okay. So everybody get ready to take some pictures. It's going to be fun. But until then, we've got this God. That I believe we walk into this moment of time that will never be repeated again. And I'm going to encourage you just one time. Let go of your hair and shout to the Lord a voice of triumph. Give him your best. Come on. Hallelujah! Come on! Shout! 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 Come on! It's not about being Pentecostal. It's about being Jesus lovers. It's about being lovers of Jesus. It's not about being Pentecostal or Baptist or Catholic. It's about loving Jesus. It's about loving Jesus. Woo! Shout to the Lord a voice of triumph. You win. You win. You win. You win. It's a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forehand. Come on. Give him your best. Give him your best. Yes! Woo! Hallelujah! Shout to the Lord a voice of triumph. Yes!
What is that mountain out in Colorado? Pike's Peak. Never will do that again. But anyway, God gave me this phrase. Have you ever been on Pike's Peak? There's no rails on the way up or on the way down, so I'll never do that again. But God gave me this phrase, bringing people to Jesus. No, I'm sorry, bringing Jesus to people. Because I was sitting there thinking about bringing Jesus to people, and we were just in the birthing stages of St. Charles River Church. And God spoke this clearly to me. No. Bring me to people. And there's a huge difference. There's huge difference in that paradigm shift. Bring me to people. And we do that through you and me. We just go out and live life and we bring Jesus to people. And hopefully, like when the two disciples went before the Sanhedrin council, there was a statement that was made about them. They said, you know, these are just kind of normal, uneducated guys that are just kind of, you know, not superheroes. But here's this statement that they made. They said, but we can tell he's been keeping the company of Jesus. Wouldn't you love that to be said about you? That when you walk into the room, someone senses somehow there's something so unique about you. They may not use that phrase, but there's something so unique about you, they've got to know who you are and what you're about. What drives you? Well, that would be that you've been keeping the company of Jesus. What a great statement. We celebrate this Christmas season this year. It's one of my favorite times of the year, this and Easter, because the world stops, even the secular world at some level, even agnostics, even atheists at some level will stop and have to recognize that there is this thing we have to get through. This thing where people honor the baby in a manger, this thing, but it stops. The world stops. Around the world, every religion, including Christianity. And Jesus never came, by the way, to give a religion. He came to give deliverance and salvation, didn't he? But around the world, it stops. And on this one particular day, no matter what your faith level is or lack of faith level is, the world stops and acknowledges that some child was born. In recognition, this day is set aside to recognize that. The story of Christ was foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament, and there were those that had to wait. By faith, they waited that Messiah would come. Well, today, Eli is going to come, and he's going to light the faith candle on the Advent wreath. For generations upon generations, there's been levels of faith that every generation had to have faith for. In the early, before Christ, the BC era, they had to have faith that Messiah would actually show up. And they went through so much during that era, during those thousands of years, those hundreds of years era, where they were waiting for deliverance in the Israelites, especially. We're waiting for the one coming king who would come and set up his throne on this earth. They waited by faith. And then, when everything was aligned, and I'm not even going to say when the stars were aligned, when everything was aligned just right, a little girl named Mary, who was betrothed to a gentleman named Joseph, fulfilling, by the way, the bloodline prophecy, it all came together just right. And by faith, Mary received the gift of a seed. Did you know that? She was the first to have faith that this was the Christ child. Mary had to believe by faith this was given to her, this seed given to her by the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph goes on the wildest ride of his life. By faith has to trust in what she said she saw. And then he experienced it himself, this level of faith that was born into him. Faith is the seed of Jesus Christ. He gives faith. Do you know the Bible says that to all men a measure of faith is given? To all men a measure of faith is given. So even the faith that you have for Christ, he gave to you to have in him. So for those of you who might say, I don't have a lot of faith today, the Bible says that faith, the size of of a mustard seed, can move a mountain. And by the way, I'm not worried about the literal mountain. I could care less about the mountain. I'm talking about the mountain in our lives. Faith, the size of the grain of a mustard seed, can move the mountains of our hearts and introduce us to eternal life. That's an amazing story, the gospel. Today, Father, we thank you for the faith candle that we can light alongside of the hope candle, the hope of Christ, and the peace candle that was already lit over the last couple of weeks. Just a representation. We're not religious about it, Lord. You know that. They just represent those things. But today we celebrate peace, hope, and faith. We celebrate them because they're gifts from you, just as much as the cross. In fact, they are results of the cross. And today, Father, we say thank you. As a church family, thank you. Thank you so much. We trust and we believe that you're coming again just like you said you would. Just like you said you would. We believe for your second coming. And we believe, God, that it is soon and that you will return. And you will capture the bride that is rightfully yours into your arms. And you will whisk us away. In Jesus' name. I ask you, Father, bless the rest of this meeting. Bless the children as they bring the production in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone in this room said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Would you do that? Well, we are ready for our production. Are you ready for our production? So get your cameras ready. Because I'm not joking when I told you this a few minutes ago. These are moments you will want in about, depending on how old your child is, about 10 years when your child's close to graduating from high school. These are pictures you're going to want to have. Because those are torture pictures. or videos or whatever it is that you decide to put it on today. These are priceless things. Our girls to this day still bring, Megan especially, and Kristen loves to come over too. And they will start watching. We had the old, how many remember the reel-to-reel with sound? Was it 8mm with sound? We have those. Then we have the big VHS tapes. Then we have the little skinny things. Then we got cell phones that we can put it on computers. But we've got these things all the way back to the mid-80s. And the girls are the best, some of the best ones. Y'all know Rex? Was when Kristen filled Rex's cuffs at First Assembly of God. He was our pastor at the time. Kristen is about, how old was she? About 3 years old. On the platform, she filled Rex's cuffs with hay. He couldn't see it. He could not see that she was behind him scooping hay. And everybody else is dying laughing. And finally, he's like, what are you all laughing? And he looked like the straw man coming out of his cuffs. These are great moments. Are you all ready? Would you welcome the Children's Ministries of St. Charles River Church?
At this time, Joseph and Mary lived in a part of the country that belonged to the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Augustus wanted to have a list of all the people in his empire to make sure everyone paid their taxes to him. And so each man took his family to his own city to be counted. Joseph went up from Nazareth to Galilee to Judea and to the town of Bethlehem, also known as the city of David, because Joseph belonged to the house and family of David. Joseph and Mary went together to Bethlehem. Mary was to be Joseph's wife, and she was large with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, it came time for Mary to give birth to her firstborn child. Joseph and Mary had traveled a long distance over many days, and they were tired. The night was cold, so they went to the inn to shelter for the night, but the innkeeper had no place for them. The inn was filled, there were no rooms, but the innkeeper told Joseph and Mary that they could take shelter in the stable, which was close by. Although the stable was filled with animals, Joseph would be able to find some space there to make his wife comfortable. And so Joseph took Mary to the stable. He tried to make her comfortable among the animals that were resting in the stable. And then, in the still of the night, Mary gave birth to Jesus in the stable among the animals.
Oh,
Mary then wrapped the baby Jesus in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger as the animals gathered around. In the fields nearby, the shepherds were tending their sheep. As they watched their flocks, a sudden brightness began shining all around them. The frightened shepherds looked up to the sky. There they saw a heavenly angel, a messenger of God. The angel spoke to the shepherds, saying, "Be not afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For this day in the city of David is born to you a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the sky was filled with a great army of angels who joined the messenger of God. The angels were praising God and singing out in great joy. When the angels left the early morning sky, the shepherds spoke of the wondrous event they had just witnessed. A Savior has been born in Bethlehem. The shepherds gathered their flocks and they began the journey toward Bethlehem in search of the manger where the newborn Savior, Jesus Christ, lay sleeping. They wanted to see this wonderful thing the angel of our Lord had told them about.
Thank you.
Soon the shepherds found Mary and Joseph. Jesus was lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the angel of God had told them. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they rejoiced. They were so excited that they went through the town telling everyone about the angels and the baby Jesus. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished. Many people went to see the baby Jesus. It's not hard to imagine the Christmas legend tells us of a young boy who traveled to Bethlehem to see the newborn Christ child. This little boy loved to play his drum, and so he played all the way to the manger. When he arrived, he saw the glorious gifts that others had brought and laid before the king. The little drummer boy was very sad since he thought he had no gift for Jesus. Then he realized that he could give Jesus music, a song he could play on his drum. The young boy asked Mary if he could play a song for her baby, and Mary said yes. So play he did. As the story goes, the baby Jesus was very pleased with the music, a gift of pure love given straight from the little drummer boy's loving heart.
Our newborn king to see.
While all this was happening in Bethlehem, some very wise men from the eastern lands recognized the new bright and shiny star in the sky. These wise men knew that the star was God's symbol of the birth of the King of the Jews. So they went out on a long journey to follow the star so that they might one day worship the new king. They brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh for Jesus Christ, their new king. Mary treasured all the happenings of the evening, and she thought deeply about them as she admired her newborn son. She knew that her baby Jesus was someone very special, and she rejoiced in her heart.
Thank you.
On their way back to the fields, the shepherd continued to sing out their praises to God. They told everybody they met about the wonderful, glorious night and all the wondrous things they had seen and heard. Everything had happened just as the angel had told them.
Job. Awesome job. Give them all a hand. Will you do that? What do you think? You guys were great. You ladies were great. How about their helpers back here? Come on, stand up.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.